World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a confession to make today. Got a confession. Been thinking about it all morning. Got up a little bit early. Thought, well, I got to tell it. I got to make sure everybody knows, because just confession's good for the soul. So I want to confess to everybody today. Probably the first time in my life. I think maybe the first time in my life. Probably. I didn't go to church on Easter Sunday. Now, look. I may be the only guy in America who didn't, because Easter Sunday is sort of like 4th of July, right? It's 4th of July. Everybody goes out and celebrates, and everybody's an American. And on Easter, everybody's a Christian, and everybody shows up at church. And so I got up Sunday morning. I love my wife so much, because I've ruined her. She's getting to be that same spirit of me as well. And I just couldn't bring myself to go. I'm sorry. I just couldn't bring myself to go. Can I tell you why? And I don't want to do this in a, hope this doesn't come across as a judgmental, but I don't care if it does. Because, hey, look, judgmental, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, Jonathan, pull up Webster's and judgmental, would you? Would you pull up? See, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that word. Judgmental. There's nothing wrong with it, but they've made it bad to us again. Okay, go to judgment, John. Try that. Judgment. They've made that a bad term. You're not allowed to judge any. See, they don't even have that. Put judge up there. Let's see what judged. Judge. No, do this. Let's do this, because see, words change. That's why we can't find it in Webster's, because words change on us, right? So let's go to Webster's, just regular Webster's or dictionary.com. That'd be a good place. Go to dictionary.com and bring up judgment or judgmental. Judgmental. Is it up there? Because it's a brand new. Yeah, see, it wasn't even a word when Webster was around. It wasn't even a word. Now it's a new word. It's called judgmental. And it involving the use or exercise of judgment, tending to make quick and excessively critical judgments, especially moral ones. Is that right? Is that really right? So in other words, being judgmental is wrong. Making quick and excessive critical judgments, especially moral ones, that's wrong. That's now wrong. Judgment's not wrong. Now wrong. So in other words, if some guy pulls in my house, if a black limousine pulls in my house this morning, and guys get out and they're dressed in black suits and are carrying guns, I'm not to be judgmental. Would that be judgmental to say, wow, I might be in trouble here? Right, folks? Do you see what they've done to us? See what they've done to that. That is profound, isn't it? That Webster in 1828 didn't even have a word, judgmental. And now it tells us tending to make quick and excessive critical judgments, especially moral ones. And obviously it was written by the devil, wasn't it? It's written by the devil. So without sounding judgmental, or let me say this, proudly sounding judgmental, maybe, because this is not a quick and excessive critical judgment. Okay, here's what I've come to this realization, and I don't care what, and I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. Easter Sunday, now that it's over, can we be friends here a minute? Easter is a pagan holiday. Easter, I don't think there's any doubt, folks. You can go, Christmas is pagan, Easter is pagan. And I don't want to be a bah humbug. I don't celebrate that. I'm not that kind of guy. So don't take it that way. But if you do any research at all, you will find out that there's no doubt that Easter comes from Ishtar, which is the fertility. What was she? Goddess. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And I sat our granddaughter Reese down yesterday, and I asked her, are you guys ready? I'm going to give you a quiz. Hey, Clay, you ready? I'm going to quiz you first. Clay, what day is July 4th? When is July 4th, Clay?
When is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's in the summer, Independence
Day. No, no. What day? What day is it?
Independence Day.
What? Yeah. What day is it?
July the 4th.
July 4th. Every year is Independence Day, right? Hey, Myra, I'm going to give you a chance here, Myra. When is Christmas?
December 25th.
December 25th. Every year?
Yes.
Okay. I could go some more holidays. When's Valentine's Day, Jack? That'd be a good one for you. When's Valentine's Day, Jack? What date? I shouldn't ask Jack. He's always on delay.
Not a clue. Not a clue.
February 14th, every year, right? Okay, you sitting down, folks? When's Easter? What day is Easter?
Good Friday.
Hey, Gene Allen, Gene Schroeder, when's Easter, Gene? What day is Easter? Is it April 12th? Is it March 10th? Is it, when's Easter? You might know, Gene, you know?
A moving holiday.
It's a moving holiday. Good one, Steve. It's a moving holiday.
After the first full moon?
40 yeah. days after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. That's when it is. So it's based on when folk, hey, Jonathan, some of the listeners right now have been in Billy Bob's Baptist Church their whole life, and they think I'm lying too, okay? So, Jonathan, pull up their Wikipedia someplace. When is Easter? When is Easter? Because, folks, Easter has pagan. I celebrated yesterday Resurrection Day. I have no problem doing that. Resurrection Sunday, I had no problem doing that, man. Because it is Amen. A central, man, it's a central focus, right? When is Easter? Okay, here it is. List dates of Easter. Click on that, John. Boy, aren't you glad you guys came here this morning? Because you wouldn't find this anywhere. Look at this. This is when Easter is. You can't, they don't even know when it is. In 2001, it was April 8th. In 2002, it was March 28th. In 2003, it was April 16th. In 2004, it was April 5th. When's the 4th of July again, Gene? Is the 4th of July ever July 28th? Is it ever May 10th? No, it's always the 4th of July, right? Well, why is that? Because the moon, it is Western Gregorian in 1818, the Paschal full moon fell on Saturday, March 21st, equinox. Therefore, the following day, March 22nd, the 81st day of the year was, scroll down, please, was Easter. And it will not fall as early again until 2285. And then we'll have Easter again on March 22nd. You get it, folks? So the Easter is determined by the first full moon following the first 40 days after the first full moon following the winter equinox, spring equinox. With it. And so just because I now know this, I can't really wholeheartedly gather in celebration of Easter. I can't. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the whole holy days, the whole holy week, when I used to go to Catholic Mass and we did the, what were the Stations of the Cross, all that. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. Bah humbug. And I'm just kind of curious for all of you out there. I don't care if you want. Praise God. Praise the Lord that churches were full of people yesterday. That's really kind of sad, though, isn't it? Because this is part of the gospel that we do not want to face up to. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ himself. Jonathan, maybe you can find this as I'm speaking. This is a Holy Spirit download. I wouldn't plan on talking about this. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ told us that broad was the way and narrow was the gate. That many would come and few would find it. Does anybody think of, see, folks, listen, this guy here, Matthew 7, this gospel is not for everyone. I'm telling you, it's not for everyone. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go there. Where? To destruction. Because straight is the gate. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And many gonna find it. And what it says? Now, at the same time, of course we should invite everybody to come because we don't know who the ones are that are going to find it. I get that. I get that. But this idea on Easter Sunday that we bring everybody in like it's the 4th of July and celebrate Independence Day, I have a hard time doing it. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to open it up. I'm going to ask, anybody want to argue? Anybody see it differently than I do? And look, I don't care if you do. I don't care if you see it differently. This is me. I cannot. I couldn't do it yesterday. I couldn't do it. I'm not even sure the gospel was preached. And see, that's another thing about church. If you go to church on Sunday morning, what is the purpose of church on Sunday morning? Is it to preach the salvation message to the lost? Is that the purpose of church?
Not only.
It'd be like me going, taking Myra, who doesn't know anything about football, and putting her in the middle of a coach's clinic with the NFL football coaches. And Myra's sitting there. She didn't know the right guard from the left guard. She didn't know anything about it. And that's what we do on Sunday morning. Most Sunday mornings, actually. But certainly on Easter Sunday morning, we bring all the people in, and they don't know an Easter egg from a rabbit's egg. And I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Angie, come on in real quick.
Good morning.
It's supposed to be to feed the sheep.
Sunday morning is
supposed to feed the sheep. I'm sorry, I jumped on somebody.
They don't all like the same food though, Gene. That's a problem. We serve the same meal to all of them. They don't all like the same food nor need the same food. Good, Angie.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think it's so important to understand that when we, and it took me almost 7 years to really study this out and figure out that the enemy will always take the word of God, twist it, use man as the vehicle to do that. We have tons of man-made doctrines and traditions that are unbiblical. And whenever you go into it, I figured out the last time I was in church service for Easter was about 6 years ago. Because when you literally are going into church, they're pronouncing a pagan name, a pagan god over you in the name of a pagan god, in the name of spring and all things fertility and growing, whether they realize it or not. When they're saying happy Easter, they're literally proclaiming happy pagan god over you.
Amen.
And so
amen.
I had to stop
amen.
Doing that. You cannot take and mix the profane with the holy, and that is what we do. God has given us his appointed times. He has times that we are to come to him, and that's all you have to do is start studying those out in the original first 5 books, and that's how you're going to know you're in alignment with what he wants and how he wants to be worshipped.
Boy, I've opened
I've opened
a can of worms here this morning. Pull up 1 Peter 2. Pull up 1 Peter 2, Jonathan, as I go to Randall. 1 Peter 2. Go ahead, Randall. Good word, Angie. That's me. Hey, look, folks, that's me. That's not me. Can I tell you something? I love the Lord. I try to love him with my whole heart. But we would be lying to ourselves if we all said that, didn't we? I got to tell you something. I really love my wife. I really love my wife. I'd do almost anything for my wife. I want to say that I love the Lord that much, but I really don't know if I do. Be honest with you. I really don't know if I do. I know this. I know that I would throw myself in front of a speeding car to protect Michelle, my grandbabies. I know that I would. But I won't go to the school board meeting and stand up for Jesus. I mean, I know that about myself, right? I know that about myself. And I take this stuff seriously. I love the Lord with my whole heart. And when the Lord speaks to me, that sounds religious. When I hear from the Lord, I have the option to obey or not to obey, really, really. And he didn't tell me anything about you. He didn't tell me anything about you, Randall. He just told me, don't go there. Don't go. So Michelle and I didn't go Sunday morning. Who did I call next? Randall, did I call you up? Go ahead. Was it you?
Yeah. Regarding the timing of Resurrection Sunday, isn't that, do they still use the same way that they used to use in the Passover?
No, you mean the calendar, the way it's determined and all that?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like the 4th of July, except we just don't know what date it's going to fall on, really. And I like the, look, I'm not I'm not anti-evangelism. Oh, I got to tell you this story. God, Lord, can I do it now? Do I do it now? No. Hey, somebody remind me about the baptisms, okay? Somebody remind me. I got to share that story with you. But I want to ride this horse here real quickly. Hang on there, Clay. Clay, you're up next. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Verse 2, just start right there. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So you start out with milk. I get that, okay? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You, folks, are lively stones. You build up a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So as Andy just said, was worshiping Ishtar, was that is that acceptable to God, I wonder? You say, well, Coach, I didn't go to Easter Sunday to worship Ishtar. I know you didn't. I know you didn't, but you did. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, and the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Here's where I was heading. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Folks, that's why it's not going to be all people. It's going to be few. It's not going to, the Bible says Jesus loves everybody, everybody come. And yes, yes, everybody come. But not all people are going to get in. Why? Because broad is the way and narrow is the gate. They're not going to be willing to lay down what they have to lay down in order to follow Jesus. And the question is, are you willing, really? Are you really willing to lay down your life to follow Jesus? Are you really? Or is he a life enhancement gospel? Is it a life enhancement gospel? And you say, well, Coach, listen, if we don't have Easter Sunday services, a lot of people won't come and hear the gospel. They come in to hear the gospel. Yeah, it's like going someplace on the 4th of July and watching fireworks. It's really not much to him. And we might hook a few of them. We might hook a few. But man, it's a central focus. Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Christmas Sunday is probably the day when more unsaved people go to church than any time in history. Those days, right? Both of them, December 25th. Folks, have you put it together yet? December 21st is the winter solstice. Have you put that together yet? 21, every 3 months? Oh, I'm getting in trouble today. Who's next? Is Clay up next? Go ahead, Clay.
Well, there's a debate on whether or not Jesus was crucified on April 3rd or April 7th. You know, scholars debate it, but we know it doesn't have anything to do with the moon phase at all. Same way as if I was born or you were born, it stays the same date every year. It doesn't matter about the moon. And the one thing this year, I heard more Happy Resurrection Day than Easter this year for the first time in my life. So that's a good thing.
That's right. That's a good thing. Look, Jonathan's a producer. I'm going to give him an A today. It says the children gather at 18. I'm going to paraphrase here. Okay. Highlight that again, Jonathan. The children gather eggs. I put eggs in there. The children gather eggs and the fathers kindle whatever food and the women make bread to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, to be Ishtar, wouldn't it? And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Dude, this is something, isn't it? Huh? Lies of the church again. Lies of the church. Following the traditions of men. Jesus got mad at the Pharisees. He says, you teach his doctrines, commandments of men, making the word of God of none effect. None effect. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's deep. Dave Allison, go, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yeah, you know, and again, the churches, actually, they've added fuel to the fire of the fertility thing, because they're all caught up in the Easter eggs and the Easter bunny thing just as much as the world. And so
Dave, while they promote birth control, keep going.
Right. And so my issue is, it's not so much yesterday. It's the other, what they do the other 51 weeks of the year isn't much better. And that's the thing. And so I'd rather we had a great time studying the word and praising the Lord yesterday at home. And I'm because lately, every time I've gone to a fellowship, I've come out more grieved than I went in. And so you're right. Guess what? Yesterday was the largest amount of unsaved people that went to church, but guess what? They left unsaved. That's the problem.
Amen.
You know, so they're so that's, I, Coach, when you were a football coach, did you invite the opposing team into the locker room when you were doing your strategy and setting things up?
No,
you didn't, right? And that's what the church says. Come as you are, bring the demons, the everything with you. Come as you are, you're going to be loved. You know, you're an abomination of God, but just walk in here. Yeah, Jesus did go out. He went out and preached to the masses. But when it came time for discipleship and gathering and each and really mentoring each other, I think they did that in a much smaller group. And I think that's where church is failing. And they try to reach the masses, and it just doesn't work.
You know, Dave, back when I got sued by the ACLU for praying with our football teams, we always prayed after the game, and it's always kind of interesting to watch. I'd have some guys on the other team sometimes who'd come and join us. Their coach didn't pray with them, right? And they would see us take a knee and gather, and other players would come. And I'd say, man, that's the ecclesia there, isn't it, huh? That's Easter Sunday on football field, isn't it? Huh? Amen. Huh? Amen. George, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach. I just noticed this. I noticed first over at Giant Eagle Pharmacy, secondly at Staples, I had two women, Muslim women, with a hijab on their head. So I asked them, I said, what is your religion based on? And they said, both of them said, it's based on the cycles of the moon.
Well, welcome Easter, Ishtar, Ishtar. Hey, John, look up Ishtar, I-S-H-T-A-R, Ishtar, Ishtar. Go ahead, Jeff. Oh, he's looking that up. Can't hear you, Jeff. Oh, he hung up accidentally. Ishtar. Ishtar. Sumerian Inanna, in Mesopotamian religion, goddess of war and sexual love. Ishtar is the Arcadian counterpart of the West Semitic goddess Ashtari. You go down, read down through this, you're going to find out Ishtar becomes Easter. Ishtar becomes Easter. Try it again, Jeff. Still muted. We already lost him again. Myra, jump in here real quick.
Yes,
the rare, Coach. The fertility figure. She evolved, however, into a more complex character, surrounded by myth, by death, disaster, yada, yada, yada. Go, Myra.
Yes, Coach. Good morning. Dan Woodcock is in Ireland, and he just sent me a picture with his cross hat on. So Amen. We say hello to Dan Woodcock.
Hey, Dan.
And you ask us to remind you about baptism, and in regard to Ishtar, Isaiah 65:5-6, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am a holier than you. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written, before me I will not keep silence, but will recompense,
repay,
even recompense into their bosom. Hallelujah.
Amen. Stephanie, the resident former pagan who got to hold her grandson this weekend, said, you want to add the moon? I want to add that the moon is of female energy in the occult. Very important to real practitioners on the dark side. Moon symbol is goddess symbol. I have triple goddess tattoo on my arm, she says. Full moon energy is used for stronger spells, charging magic tools and objects. Sun is male energy. Moon is female energy. Man, the things you learn when you tune into Coach Dave Live. Thanks for that, Stephanie. Praying for your little grandson there. Rochelle, come on in, and then Craig. And then I'm going to change. Well, go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
All right. Hey, good morning, team. The moon was significant because the very first Passover was on a full moon. So that was a very easy marker. The very first moon after the equinox, after the spring equinox, is when we have our Passover. It doesn't matter what day it falls on, matters nothing. And sometimes they actually remember the Jewish calendar throws a month in there every now and then. So that full moon, I mean, hey, what a way to come out of Egypt under the light of a full moon.
Amen.
I'm just saying.
Amen. So Jonathan, look up equinox, because some people don't understand this either. E-Q-I-N-O-X. E-Q-I-N-O-X. Boy, aren't you glad you tuned in to Coach Dave Live? Equinox. Equal night. Equal night. Equal day. That's what equinox means. Do you understand that? A solar equinox is a moment in time when the sun crosses the Earth's equator, which is to say, appears directly above the equator, rather north, south, yada, 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 yada. This occurs twice a year, around March 20th, September 23rd. That's the equinox, right? What's the solstice then? What's the summer? What's the winter solstice? Because whether we understand this or not, folks, much of our tradition, much of our history is built around the equinox and the solstice. Equal means equal nox. Nox means night, equal night. 12 hours, 12 hours, 12 hours. So the solstice is called the hibernal solstice. It occurs when Earth's poles reaches as far away as it's going to get. And this happens twice a year. Do we know when it happens? Yeah, usually December 21st and, dare I say it, June 21st. That's where our seasons are, okay? Man, the stuff you learn here at Coach Dave Live, right? So if we have to understand that throughout all of our history, some of it nefarious, some of it not nefarious, the moon cycles, the earth cycles, the cycles of the seasons has entered into our celebrations. Thumbs up on that. Everybody okay with that? Huh? Understand? And what did Jesus get mad about? We could find it right now. Jonathan, I don't know where it is, but you can pull it up because you're really fast. Look for teaching the doctrines of men. Just pull that up. See if you can find that. Because Jesus got mad. That's why he went and tore down the temple. He says, you teach the doctrines of men, making the word of God of no effect. Where's Matthew 5, verse 5? There you go. Put that up there. But in vain do they do worship me, teaching for command doctrines the commandments of men. It's the very thing Jesus was mad about at the original beginning of it. You guys are making up rules as you go along. And you make up all these rules that all these people have to do, and you make the word of God of no effect. Isn't that something?
He was also mad that they didn't know the time of his visitation. They didn't know the times.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. So, folks, I hate to tell you this. There are some traditions that need to be pulled down. Sorry. There's some that need to pull down. Thank God for Resurrection Sunday, whenever that was. But that sure wasn't Easter. I promise you that. It sure wasn't Easter. And I can also tell you this. It wasn't Good Friday. He was not crucified on Good Friday. Boy, I'm going to get into it now. Oh, geez. Craig, come on in. And Craig knows all. He got all that astrological stuff for us. Help us out, Craig.
Well, you know what, Rochelle's right. Okay, so the full moon and the new moon, right? So what's very interesting about this.
I can hardly hear Craig. Can anybody else hear him okay? Craig, I can hardly hear you.
How's that? Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So the new moon, Rochelle's right. It was a full moon. So here's a very interesting pattern here. Okay. The new moon, okay, just happened to be on March 21st, 22nd this year. Okay. So that gives you the 2 weeks. And guess what? Now you come to Passover. All right. And what actually happened this year is an event that doesn't happen all the time, that the Passover actually did fall over what they would consider Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, or which we would call Resurrection Sunday. That actually happened this year. It was correct. Okay. So because Jesus presented himself on Nisan 10, because he had 4 days to present himself as the Lamb, and he actually was crucified on this last Wednesday. He rose on Sunday. But what's interesting in this pattern is two things. One, it represents the exact same thing that happened in 2020, okay, when COVID hit, all right? So you have a 3-year pattern here. And Nisan 1 is a very important date because it's also relies to the story when Jesus raised Lazarus, because he said, are there not 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night? See, that occurred roughly about a week or two before, and it occurred in the town Bethany, which many people don't realize is only 1.7 miles from Jerusalem. So when this event occurred and he raised Lazarus from the dead, this was like right in the neighborhood of Jerusalem. And so that's why all this Lazarus, and they were worried because this miracle just happened before the Passover and was giving credibility to who Christ was. That's one of the reasons they wanted to kill Lazarus, and they wanted to kill Jesus, but they did not want to kill him over the Passover. Jesus made that happen. And the other thing I'll just say very quickly, Nisan 1 has a very important date of major events in the Bible. First, in the book of Exodus, at the very last chapter, it's the time, the first month of the second year, is when the tabernacle is actually initiated after the Passover. Nisan 1 also plays a effect in the book of Esther, because it's the day that Haman cast lots to make the Jews be killed on a certain day within that year. And another interesting fact about this whole thing about Nisan 1, okay, is going to be April 8th next year. April 8th is the second of the solar eclipses that will come across America.
That's why I always preferred Toyotas rather than Nissans. Me. I always thought they drove better. That's a joke.
Boom. Yeah, that's a big date. This eclipse next year, 1 year from basically today, we're within a year. This is a big event.
All right, cool. I can't hear Craig very well. Maybe it's on my end. I did the best. I'm sorry, Craig, if I didn't respond. I really have a hard time hearing you. Married Jeff, come on in. Let's try you again, Jeff.
How about now?
That's better.
Hey, this is something, I don't know, I think of this. It's just kind of, maybe it's dumb. But you ever notice you go to church on Easter and you look over and you see somebody and you almost don't recognize them? You think, wow, he looks really good today. They dress up for Easter Sunday. And some of them people, you never see them dress up at all year.
Yeah, so it'll be Halloween, right?
They'll dress up. So you got new people coming to church. And what do most people say? Well, I'll come to church, but do I have to dress up? Well, they come on Easter, and everybody's got the beautiful outfits on. And I'm like, going back here. It just drives me nuts.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to refer to that. Jack, and then I'm going to switch gears. Okay, go ahead, Jack.
Okay. Isn't it interesting? I find it very interesting that God's calendar, the moon and the sun, the cycles of the moon and the sun are way more accurate than the calendar that we put on the wall and we drive everything by. It's so much better. And just to throw a little bit more crap in the game, all those neat times and things that you were talking about, Coach, with the solstice and the equator and the lines, those are how we originally navigated. We not only planted and harvested, but we also navigated the globe by those times.
And then
God's calendar, God's time, God's direction, God's navigation aids.
Amen. That's what I'm saying, man. Teaches the commandments, the doctrines of men. And I won't go any deeper than that. Hey, real quickly, Jonathan, pull up the picture of Rube. It says Rube. Folks, you know Betty's husband was that's Betty's husband, Rube. When a car that rolled over, he was changing somebody's brakes and the car rolled over him and it crushed his heel. And look what happened to the back. This is a 79-year-old man. And of course, poor Betty, you know how it is. Sometimes it's better to be hurt than to take care of the one that's hurt. So Betty really needs our prayer and our encouragement as she takes care of Rube, her husband. And, he's not sleeping well, you know what all's going on. So let's lift up Betty out there, keep her in your prayers. And he must be a tough old bugger. 79 years old, you think that would have killed him, wouldn't you? Car roll on you like that? Didn't break his hip, anything like that? It's amazing. So we're with you, Betty. We're with you. Okay, I want to show you something. Let's see, make sure I do that. Doing that. Okay. Oh, I got a couple. God, I got some good stuff here. excuse me. Saturday, I think Saturday, Michelle and I, we drove down to Salt Fork. It's some of the other meeting place. It's a state park east of us here in Ohio. It's over where Betty Perkins lives, over in that area, over where Tracy lives, because Tracy wanted to be baptized. That's something that we do not regularly, but we do. We offer baptisms. And Tracy's grandson was baptized at, excuse me, an event, I don't know, a year or so ago. And Saturday was Tracy's birthday. So Tracy asked me if I would come and baptize her. Well, so heck yeah, what an honor that would be. So Michelle and I jumped in the car and we drove. We were going to baptize her in the lake, but it was like 45 degrees and windy. And I told her, I said, listen, Tracy, I'll bring my extra thick jock strap, but I ain't looking at getting in that 40 degree water. and she kind of wised up and she says, well, coach, even though I wanted to do it in the lake, I was able to get the swimming pool. The swimming pool at state at Salt Fork Lodge, they let us do it for $30. Said for $30 we can rent it. So I said, I'm sorry, I got frogs. Says, wow, great. So we showed up there and went to Salt Fork, and then find out that the people at Salt Fork were not allowed to tell this. They didn't even charge us. They didn't charge us. So we go all chained, get in our clothes, my wife and I, and I'm gonna show you a video of it here in a second. But I'm gonna tell you a remarkable story about it first. There's something about the public proclamation of the gospel. Folks, are you listening to me? We got to quit hiding it in our church. We got to quit hiding it. So we showed up there at the pool, and there are a lot of people, a lot of families over there Easter weekend, and we just kind of took a section right over by the steps, and Michelle and I jumped in the water. Tracy jumped in the water, and Tracy's get my brain to work here. Raynell jumped in there. Tracy's one of the family members of Tracy, without making it too difficult. And we baptized them. I got it on video. I'm going to show you here in a second. But after we got done baptizing them, some lady walks over and said, can we be baptized? I said, what? Huh? And then so I said, yeah, coach, these people want to be baptized. These people want to be baptized. What? Yeah, these, it was four girls. Help me out, Michelle. It was three girls and their mother from, I don't know where they were from. They came up and said, would you baptize us? And then we come to find out that over across the water, sitting on the other side of the pool, were the parents of these, the woman and her three children. The parents were sitting across, and they had been praying these children had come up from North Carolina, I think it was, and the parents had been praying that something miraculous would happen in the life of their children, of their daughter and their grandchildren, because they needed the Lord so much, yada, yada, yada. And so they sat across, and they watched their prayer become real as their daughter and their three granddaughters came walking across and got baptized. Something about the public proclamation of the gospel. And then somebody, I'm going to show you it here in a second. And then somebody texts me on Facebook. By the way, and that's why I know I'm being banned on Facebook. I had very few views, very few. Very few views of it. So that, you know, they're shadow banning this, right? So lost my train of thought, dumb me. So we Facebooked it live so everybody could see what was going on. And I want to show you Tracy, how this was so cool. Pull up Tracy's baptism. It's on my Facebook page, I think. Public proclamation, friends. Hang on a minute. Stop right there. Because I didn't know this. While we were baptizing Tracy, in that video that you see right now, this is the family sitting across the pool from us. They're filming the baptism. They can't believe what's going on, that we're down there in the corner, me and Michelle, baptizing. So they're filming it. See, it says Sierra Chapman, who's one of them that we baptized, who came over, said she wanted to be baptized. God works in mysterious ways, and there's no such thing as a coincidence. They tell the story about how their daughters ended up getting baptized because they came to Salt Fork Lake. Salt Fork, because they'd been praying. Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. So go to the next video. That's not the one I want you to see. I want you all to see Tracy get baptized. Go on down, Jonathan. Go on down. Keep going. Keep going. There we go. Keep going. Hey, I think I'm in the water there. Is that it? There we go. All right. All right. Is this it? Yeah, go ahead.
We're going to jump in the water here, and we're going to dunk a couple girls. Going to dunk them. That's what we're going to do. But folks, listen, before I get in there, I want all of you to understand this. That baptism, we could get in an argument as to whether or not baptism is required for salvation. I could argue both sides of that, because we know the thief on the cross didn't receive a baptism, right? And the Lord said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. We're taught in Christian tradition that baptism, that Jesus says that you have to be baptized. It was one of the commandments he gave us, to be baptized. So we try to follow through on the Christian tradition, and here's what I want you all to understand from my standpoint, okay? When you are born the first time, you are born through water, the amniotic fluid of a woman. You're conceived and formed in that little sack of water, right? And so when you're born, they puncture the water, or the water gets punctured, however that happens, and you come out through the birth canal. Well, the idea of baptism is it signifies the death of the old character, the old person, and the birth of the new one. So water baptism is the exact same thing. You enter back into the water, and then you're birthed out of the water into new life. You understand the significance of that? So there really isn't anything that is special about being baptized other than you have to be a believer. You believe? If you don't believe, then it's all a waste of time anyway, right? Because confession is made unto salvation. And so baptism is nothing more than an outward expression of what happened inside of you. The Bible says you must be born again. I have to be honest with you, I was in church my whole life. Sometimes I didn't act like it, but I was in church my whole life, and I never understood what it meant to be born again. So Tracy and Raynell are going to get baptized together. Here's one of the exciting things. Yeah, show them real quick here. These two girls, huh? This is a grandma, this is a mommy, and one of the amazing things is I baptized her son up there. Show him up there. I baptized him in the water. Down where were we?
Tennessee.
Down in Tennessee, we baptized him in the water down in Tennessee. So today, mom and grandma are going to get in the water as well, all right? So that's what we're about to do. You're doing good, Doug. You're doing good. Yeah, you can do it. You're doing all right. You're doing all right. So we'll do it right here so he can pick it all up. Okay, Doug, maybe you can get down here a little bit closer so we can get a good picture. You guys see okay up there? Huh? You know, listen, Tracy and I met. We were on the way to a Trump event in Washington, D.C., and she's in the van. I didn't even know Tracy. She's one of the people who's in the van with us. And those of you who know me know I preached all the way out there.
Yes.
She thought I was crazy, right?
Little shit, she called me.
I preached all the way out there. And then through a series of events, we just got to know each other a little bit better. And then she realized maybe I wasn't a little shit, right? No, I wasn't. Maybe that I was right. And so Tracy wants to make a public confession, a public expression of her belief in Jesus Christ. And again, as I said earlier, the Bible says that we're to be baptized. Is baptized, is it necessary for salvation? I don't know, but why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And so we're going to baptize Tracy here today. Tracy, let me ask you a couple questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Look in that mirror and
yes,
tell them.
Yes, I do. Huh?
And you've passed from death unto life, haven't you?
Yes,
a new
I have.
Thing happened inside of your heart. You used to be kind of religious, kind of go to church, kind of play the game. But then you had a real, real face-to-face confrontation with the King of Kings.
Yes, Lord. I did.
And folks, that's what it's all about. It ain't about baptism. It isn't about anything. And Tracy had that happen to her. And then she saw her grandson, Jeremiah, get baptized. And she said, I want to get baptized on her birthday. So this is a double birthday, huh? Let's bust it out. How old are you?
57
years old. So folks, it's never too late. It's never too late, man. Huh? Eternity is forever. And she's gonna pass from death into life. She already has, but this is gonna be a public expression of it. And I brought my girlfriend and my wife for 43 years, Michelle.
I couldn't have done it without her either. Wow. I have to help.
And so I wore my shirt today, all in, because Tracy is all in, all right?
She's all in.
All right, Tracy's there. Give me your hand, dude. Here's what we're going to do. Tracy, do you believe, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have. At one of your events on October 8th, 2021, I was saved.
Amen. Have you rejected Satan and all his wily?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
And you choose this day to serve God with all your heart.
Yes, I do.
Well, we're just going to baptize her. Ain't nothing special here, Tracy. You might want to
plug my nose.
You might want to hold your nose. You hold your nose, whichever one. No watches or anything on here, right? Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you that according to your commandments, we're going to baptize Tracy here as a new sister in Christ, as an outward expression of her belief in Jesus Christ. We baptize her in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Yes!
Amen! Yes!
Yes!
So how cool is that? You can shut that off. Some of you are probably bored already. How cool was that? And that moment there, now her Raynell goes next. She does it. And as soon as that's done, those people across the pool who were filming it, they come over and say, can we do it too? There's something about the public proclamation of the gospel that you won't find anyplace else. And I want to ask you this. Are you looking at me? Is there even a baptismal in your church? Boom. And when was the last time your church had a public baptism of a new convert? Boy, we need to check ourselves, don't we, folks? We need to check ourselves. Amen. Amen. All right.
Coach, can I just add one thing to that?
Yeah, Trace, we love you. Go ahead, sweetie.
About the people that got baptized afterwards, just to add, it was an adopted mother and the birth mother.
That's right. I forgot that.
Yes, that was the real big deal, is that the adopted daughter was meeting her twin sisters for the first time, and the birth mother has been through a lot of rough patches in her life, and the family had been praying, and they came up from North Carolina for a reunion so that this daughter could meet her sisters. And just the story of their church praying for them and that a miracle would happen on this trip. And then the father, the adopted father, thought enough of the family to text everyone and say, they're baptizing in the pool. They're baptizing in the pool. Get down here. Get down here. I mean, it was meant to be. There are no coincidences. We were meant to be there when we were originally not going to be. So God works. God works, even when you don't realize it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can I sing to her real fast? I'm 2 days late.
Sure.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tracy. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Amen. Amen. By the way, I'd be happy to baptize you. We'll figure out a way to get it done. Maybe we can do it at the annual event coming up here in June, or I just spoke to Rob Pugh. We're going to do baptisms at Rob Pugh's event coming up here. Is it next weekend? Is it this week? I lose track of time. Maybe it's this weekend already. We're going to be doing baptisms up. Hey, folks, I wonder. I'm not trying to expose anybody. I wonder how many of you out there have never really been baptized? You said, "Well, I was sprinkled as a child." Yeah, yeah. But have you been baptized since you received Christ? Have you? Now, as I said, I don't know whether it's required or not, because the thief on the cross clearly wasn't baptized, but Jesus told us to be baptized. He told us to do it. And so I would just encourage many of you out there. I wasn't baptized till I sprinkled, but I wasn't baptized till I figured out what it was all about. And then sometimes I feel like I'd like to be baptized again, because I even know more what it's about now. And it's the explanation I was making about the water and the amniotic fluid. Your birth into your first birth is through water, and your new birth is through water, baptism, right? So if you haven't been baptized out there, find somebody to baptize you, or get over here to Buckeye Lake, and we'll take you out there and we'll put you in. I about killed one guy out there one day, fell down, banged his head. He knows who he is. I'm not gonna embarrass him. I'll make sure I don't bang you in the head. So, hey, as soon as we get the pond filled, we'll baptize you in the pond. Janine, come on in.
The thief on the cross was baptized. He was baptized in Christ's blood right then and there.
That's it. That's it. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness of sins, right? I don't know why it's important. The Lord said, be baptized. That's all I know. They sprinkled me as a little Catholic boy. Does that even count? Did that even count? I don't know. I don't even know if it even counts. Hey, okay, so look, man, I only got 9 minutes left. Do you guys know who Jordan, what's his name? Jordan Peterson is. Competent and Dangerous. Pull that up there for me. Pull that up there. I don't know why this is so big on the screen, okay? But this is, Jordan Peterson is an intellectual who is gradually finding his way to the Lord. Every time I hear him speak, he's becoming more and more and more Christian. He started out as a philosopher, a psychology guy, and he's making this transition into Christianity. It's happening. He's really starting to get deep. But this is very, very short. And I'm sorry for what it looks like, but you're going to be able to read along. And I listened to this and I said, daggone. This is it, right? This is it. Yeah, making it smaller. There you go, John. You're able to do it for me. Okay, now go ahead and play this. Should you be competent? You should be competent and dangerous. Hey, friends. Michelle, I won't do it to her. I've been saying this ever since I got saved. I already told Michelle what to put on my gravestone. Here lies a dangerous man. Ooh. I told Michelle to put that on my gravestone. And then I saw Jordan Peterson do this. Go ahead.
For people to hear that they should make themselves competent and dangerous and take their proper place in the world.
Competent and dangerous? Mm. Why dangerous?
Because it's the alternative to being weak. And weak is not good. The people who shoot up the high schools, they're weak. They're weak.
How is it good to be dangerous?
Because it makes you formidable. And life is a very difficult process, and it's not for, you're not prepared for it unless you have the capacity to be dangerous. That doesn't mean that you should be cruel. It doesn't mean any of that. There's a statement in the New Testament, the meek shall inherit the earth. But the meek isn't well translated. It means something more like, Those who have swords and know how to use them but keep them sheathed will inherit the world. That's a way better way of thinking about it. You have to be powerful and formidable and then peaceful, in that order, right? And that's not the same as being naive and weak and harmless, which is what young men are being encouraged to be. It's very helpful for people to hear that they should make themselves competent and dangerous.
That was it, right? Huh? Dangerous. We're to be dangerous, folks. Not do danger. Not cause harm, but to be dangerous. To know at any moment you might rise up and say, no.
Boom.
Be dangerous. Do we teach our men to be dangerous? Do we teach our young guys to be dangerous? Does the church teach you to be dangerous? George.
Yeah, Coach. This is completely not on the subject, but I can't let it go. I just watched, since we've been talking this morning, 13, 15 chemtrails going straight over top of me. I'm not going to let it go. I want to know who's doing it, exactly who. Tell me who's doing it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to take care of it.
Well, I got a whole video I could show you on that. I was watching it earlier this morning. They're poisoning us. Come on, man. Come on. They're poisoning us. Come on, Debbie O'Brien. Come on, Deb. Can't hear you, Deb. I don't know if you're not hearing me or didn't unmute.
Keep going.
Okay, I will, Chad. I'm just trying to be nicer. Hey, pull up for me an email that says not normal. Not normal. Because look, folks, I know this sounds repetitive. We got to speak up, okay? And I just found this little blurb on the email on Facebook the other day. I thought I'd share it with you. Democrats get upset. First of all, I am so out of the Democrat-Republican box, okay? The Democrat-Republican means nothing to me anymore. And people who are constantly talking about the Democrats, to me, don't understand it, okay? They don't understand it. If you still think Republicans are good and Democrats are bad, you're so lost, okay? But so anyway, Democrats, people get upset. How about that? People get upset when I refer to them versus normal people. They demand I explain why I think they are not normal. So here's what I mean by normal. If you think a man can be a woman, you're not normal. If you think a man can get pregnant, you're not normal. If you think the important importation of slave labor from third world countries is good for America, you're not normal. If you think hardworking Americans should be taxed into poverty to support freeloaders, you're not normal. If you think the government should furnish needles and pipes to drug addicts living on the streets, you're not normal. If you think thousands of homeless should be allowed to set up camps in neighborhoods, you are not normal. If you think grown men should dance in drag for babies, you are not normal, dude. If you think your opinion trumps my rights, not only are you not normal, you are an a-hole. Often they will tell me they don't support this or that, but then defend and vote for the people who do. And that, my friends, ain't normal. It ain't normal. Debbie, you still want to try to get in? Nope. One more for today. Pull up, give Jesus a try. Pull that up for me here. Not normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. Okay, this is a good one. Get tired of people telling to try Jesus like it's a 30-day money back guarantee on return. And I just saw this today. I thought this is a good one. Go ahead.
News was on. Jeff Rick Gordon Warren's on, and he actually suggested to people that they try Jesus out for, I think he said 60 or 90 days. Give him a try. Give him a chance. And you know, he thought that was a wonderful suggestion. That's not the gospel that Jesus preached. And that's not the way that you actually get people to understand the call of Christ, the command of Christ to repent and believe, by saying, try him out. No, it's total submission. It's unconditional surrender. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to come to Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't like that. They're like, oh, that's tough. Like, how are you going to convince the rabid unbeliever for unconditional surrender? Man, we got a problem understanding the gospel if we think that. Because that is the call of the gospel. You come to die, or you don't come. And so we can't play neutrality. And that's the start of Christian apologetics, is no neutrality. Abandon the myth of neutrality. Recognize that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. News is
broad is the way, and narrow is the gate. Wide. Many come, few find it. Folks, they've been lying to us. We're a peculiar people, man. Those of us who really, really desire to serve the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul, we are a rare breed. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Not everyone who says that includes some of us in the queue right here. What are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to stand up for? Because you will measure a man by what he does. Because why? What he does reveals what's in his heart. We're a critical time in America.
Amen.
It's not a time to be ashamed of the gospel. Friday on today at 11. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.